This is...
This is Anton Savage in for Pat, and I have to apologise to Barry White because Barry went to a lot of trouble to put together a report and then I handed it to somebody else. So sorry about that, Barry. Now, we were promising to talk about this before the break, which is school lunches and whether or not they are what they should be. We're joined with Michelle Darmody, who is food consultant for Trinity TU Dublin and weekly columnist for the Irish Examiner, to discuss the need for healthier school lunches and the kind of recipes that you might provide for your kids. Morning, Michelle. How are you?
Morning. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
What do people get wrong?
I don't think it's what people get wrong at all. I just think what's lacking maybe is the link between education and the lunches. I mean, we have an opportunity to teach children so much about food at a young age that maybe is lacking, rather than that we're lacking in healthy lunches. There's definitely a conversation to be had and looking at other countries and see what people do in other areas about how we can link education and food and how we can introduce interesting foods and a wide variety of foods. And I mean, food is vital. It's absolutely vital to us as humans and also to children. And it can be used for so many different things. It's really good for introducing different cultures, for empathy, for education. So I think in school, sometimes we have our classes and where everyone's really busy and then we stop and we have lunch and it's a really separate thing. Whereas in other countries, and say in Japan, the school lunches are actually part of the education. The children serve the lunch, the children discuss the menu, they talk about the ingredients, and the ingredients are sourced from farms generally within an area of a school. So that food isn't a separate thing, it's a part of an education process. And I think sometimes that's we're missing an opportunity in Ireland and in other countries as well to can make those dots and to connect things together a little bit.
Is there a big cultural difference in the types of food that are served to children? As in, do most societies have, quote, children's menus versus adult menus? Or
no, I think that's very much a Western thing. I think it comes a little bit from the UK back in the turn of the last century, when there was children's lunches and children were considered to have very bland foods. And in institutions like schools and in boarding schools and in hospitals, children were kind of, oh, don't give them anything, it'll scare them. And I think sometimes it's kind of leaked into our culture a little bit. Children are mini adults, you know, they will eat different foods if they've had the opportunity to taste them. I know that's not all children and you cannot generalise. So there is loads of people out there whose children won't. But I mean, I'm talking about in a majority of children, if they are given an opportunity, can be introduced to different foods at an early age. And schools are quite overloaded in Ireland, but it's definitely worth thinking about looking at the opportunity to building education and building food in together in a much broader way than we do now. It's great. Healthy Ireland they're advocating for a school forum, they're starting to build a school forum on looking at food in schools at the moment. So that's brilliant. So they're bringing together all different people from different areas to look at food in schools. And I think in the future, we're going to see a radically different approach in our schools, and they're going to feed into all the different people, the teachers, parents, hopefully the children as well.
A radically different approach, like what? Where do you think it's going?
I think we are going to make that connection. We're going to make the connection that eating differently at a younger age, it affects how we will be as adults and how we will eat as adults. So I think using schools and school lunches as an opportunity to introduce new foods, as an opportunity to sit down and eat at a pace that's comfortable for children. You talk to an awful lot of children now and they have like a kind of frantic 10 minute, get the lunchbox out, crack it open, eat, and then they're all wanting to run out and play in the yard. So there is not enough time maybe spent on relaxing and enjoying the food. There's not enough time in linking the curriculum with the lunch. There's not enough time maybe for looking at supporting local producers. And I know that can seem idealistic presently, kind of the notion that supporting local may be a bit more expensive. But I think as our food systems change over the next decades and generations, particularly, it's going to be much more expensive to ship things across the world. So we are going to have to look at different ways of approaching food. We're going to have to look at investing in a more local approach to food than we do.
What do you do, though, about pressure of time? Because there will be parents who will say, yeah, I would love to sit down and plan out, there's the carb, there's the protein, there's the leafy green vegetable, there's the little bit of dairy. But frankly, I've just put in a 13-hour day and I'm about to keel over. So look, let me just find something that I can open out of a packet and stick in a box for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky. There's no doubt about it being tricky. I suppose I'm talking about the school lunches that are provided by the government at the moment. We have 1,500 schools that are on a school meals programme. And those schools... are getting lunches brought into the school. So maybe there is what I'm talking about. We have an opportunity to start looking at doing things a little differently and looking at other countries. From home, it's just time, isn't it? I mean, if people have time at the weekends, if they have time in the evenings to do a bit of batch cooking, to do some baking, brown soda bread, you know, it's a real traditional Irish recipe that is kind of a fail-safe. It's a really good one. You can introduce seeds into it, you can introduce oats into it, and different ways.
And once you get your eye in, you'll make a soda bread in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, not everyone has the time, but if you do have the time, it's really rewarding. You can slice it up, put it in the freezer, you know, pop it in a freezer bag. You can put a little bit of baking powder between each slice, so it's easy to pop open. You know, so you can definitely do things that save time.
So give us then recommended recipes. If somebody is thinking, okay, this weekend I will finally get to it and do the batch cooking, what are the kind of things?
Well, say if soda bread is what we're talking about, you can do soda bread. I do a no whey recipe. I just use a mug, like a large mug, and I use a mug of brown flour, about 3/4 of a mug of white flour, and then you'd use a mug of buttermilk, an egg cracked in, some bread soda, and then you can add what you want to that. So I'd use sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, different sesame seeds. Definitely I'd put in about 1/4 cup of oats, stir it all together, put in a tin with a bit of olive oil on the tin, and bake it generally in a very hot oven for about 40-45 minutes, depending on your oven. I can give that to you to put up on your website, no problem. I mean, savoury muffins are another thing that you can do, and you can add things to. You can grate some cheese into it, you can put sweet corn, you can put a bit of ham, you can definitely chop herbs through, you can chop some spring onions, scallions through it, you know. So there is different recipes that you can bulk up.
What about proteins? Because that's one of the difficult things to do as a batch cook, is to figure out what are the proteins that I can plan that'll last for 5 days in the fridge and that will have enough variety.
Yeah, proteins are more difficult because they, as by their nature, tend to go off quicker. You know, meats and cheeses and eggs and different things go off meat. I mean, depending on your child, if they're adventurous enough to have tinned tuna, you know, you can start using things like that. There is different meats that obviously will last a bit longer than others and stuff, but you can do that different things in the morning. Egg, I mean, if your child is willing to eat egg, you can do egg salad. Also, I mean, flasks are handy, having a hot flask and filling that with a meal if your child is going to eat that in school is also. And I mean, if you're looking over to other countries, again, if we're looking over at France, I mean, they have an amazing system set up where kids get school meals. Most kids will be asked to pay a little bit towards the meal, but they're just asked a contribution. It's not necessarily the full, they're subsidised by the government. But they have a full 4-course lunch every day in a school.
They have a 4-course lunch in school?
They'd sit down, they'd have a little starter, they'd have cheese, and they'd have some fruit afterwards, and they'd have a meal. And it's served, it's not served pre-packed, it's all served over a counter. So it's kind of put on a plate for kids. They have time and they eat. And I mean, this is, you know, it's a perfect world, and it's, you know, that's a thing. But I think it's definitely worth us being ambitious and looking at different countries and seeing what models. There is schools already here that are cooking within their school, which is great to see. St. Alton's out in Cherry Orchard, they feed about 600 children a day. They have their kitchen, and it's brilliant. You go in, the kitchen is open to the kids, they see everyone cooking there. There's a huge amount of local employment, so people from the local area are generally cooking. So you can see, you know, your aunt, your uncle, and different people. John Scallon runs it out there, and it's just a really brilliant operation, and the kids get a hot school meal every day. So I mean, it is feasible in Irish schools, and it's ambitious, but I think something like the Food in Schools Forum now that Healthy Ireland are looking at, we can start exploring new ways that, and we used to do it before actually, and a lot of Dublin schools back in the school meal started in 1914, and some Dublin schools had big kitchens. They used to serve Irish stew, they used to serve soup, they used to serve currant buns and cocoa actually, bread to children. So I mean, we have done it before, and I'm not saying it's going to be an easy process, but I think it's definitely worth exploring. And there's anti-poverty groups, anti-hunger groups are definitely calling for more school meals and hot meals. And there is a government scheme at the moment now. 35,000 children are getting hot meals, which is amazing. And that was just being introduced in March this year. So looking at ways of expanding and how we can bring that food into the curriculum as well, maybe looking at how we can educate around food and using that to explore different cultures and, you know, explore how and where our food comes from. I think we're just connecting all those dots. It's a good opportunity.
I'm still amazed by the notion of the French sitting down to a 4-course meal in school. There's something terribly civilised about that. Michelle, thank you very much. That's Michelle Darmody, who is food consultant and a researcher in TU Dublin, and as well as being a weekly columnist from the Irish Examiner. And a lot of agreement on text with what Michelle was saying. Text in relation to lunches. I give great food to my kid, but she has 10-minute and 20-minute breaks. The 20-minute must include the yard, so it is eat, stop, go. They can't bring it out. Days need to be longer and have a proper meal. So much in the way of social skills would be learnt as well.